Let's get Brian Burke here into the conversation on this Thursday morning as he joins us each and every Thursday. Good morning, Brian.
Morning, guys.
A lot of different layers, I guess, to dive into. I guess first things first, the report from Sportsnet Hockey Insider, Elliot Friedman, your partner in crime on Hockey Night in Canada, and his report that the NHL could be, it looks like it's going more and more towards this 24-team playoff format, and he kind of laid out a little bit of the scenario last night as well, which you can see on sportsnet.ca. Your thoughts to it?
Well, if they can do it, I think it's great. I mean, I think you got to prioritize and say, okay, ideal world, we finish the regular season, we determine the order of draft selection, we solve all these, you know, these conditional draft picks. I don't think that's possible. So what's the next best thing? Expanded playoffs. Give teams that had a realistic chance a chance. Is it ideal? No. But it's better than not doing it. I fail to see how we're going to be able to pull this off with 24 teams, logistically and medically.
Yeah, Burke, you're always making the analogy of renovating a house. This is kind of like you just moved the furniture. You haven't started anything. This was the easiest thing to do. I'm not saying it took this long. You've got a lot of things to consider. But when you have control over it, and they did, that's the easy part. It's the unknown that is, okay, great, this is what you'll do. But would you not agree that it's everything else that is difficult?
Yeah, and I applaud the league. I just did a radio show in Calgary, and someone heard me the other day and said, you're so negative. And I'm like, actually, I'm not. You guys know me. I'm kind of a grump. But I wake up and I think good things are going to happen. I'm an optimist. And if they can do this, great. I have no idea how you're going to do testing, quarantine, sanitation, transportation. I don't know how you're going to do that for 24 teams. And I think the league is making one vital mistake by not locking in next season right now and saying this is what next season is going to look like. Give season ticket holders, sponsors, broadcast partners, give them the lay of the land. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to start playing January 1st. Will we have fans in the building? We don't know yet. But here's the schedule. Here's what we're going to do. Let's lock in all of our best customers and give them certainty that the season is going to be played, then figure this playoff out.
Do you... You know, the NBA is pushing more and more, it seems, towards one specific hub city. Orlando's emerged as that front runner there. Obviously, the NHL is considering 8 or 9 different scenarios as possible hubs. I think there's been a report suggesting they'd like to include Canada, if that's possible. Do you like the idea of one specific hub, or do you like multiple? I mean, does multiple become trickier? You know, John Horgan's really been waving the flag here for Vancouver and you know, even suggesting the Coliseum, which is another can of worms. But do you think one specific hub city maybe works better than multiple?
Well, the one that all the experts seem to agree, Orlando has some advantages. The one city that everyone agrees is picture perfect is Vegas, because you could lock down a city block with 2 or 3 hotels, walking distance from the arena. Give each team a floor of a hotel, quarantine them away from each other, quarantine the kitchen staff that would cook just for that team, say. There's so many moving parts, but you need testing for all the athletes and the staff. So you're going to have 30 players, 28 players, because you're going to have some black aces if you play playoff games, 6 coaches, 7 coaches, 5 trainers, GM, assistant GM. I mean, you're looking at easily 45 to 50 people per team. And I say, okay, so we're going to test all those people and their bus driver. We're going to test them every day. I just don't know how logistically you're going to do it. But Vegas, I think you could actually lock down a number of teams and keep them safe and play, because this is all about safety.
I know we're dealing with hypotheticals, but hopefully we're getting closer, Berkey. I want to ask you this question. I think we had it as a poll question the other day, and we got into it with Ed Jovanovski. So you've got your black aces. You have your roster. The Players Association decides we're going to go. What if one of your players on your team, due to a compromised immune system or who he lives with or something, says, you know what, I'm sorry. I've had a great career. And I hope to play again, but I don't want to go under these circumstances. A, do you think it would happen, and what do you do if you're a GM?
Well, I think they've had that. It came up, I think, with a soccer player in England who said, look, my son is 5 months old, and he has breathing issues, lung issues, and I'm not playing. And I think you have to, in that case, I think that player has to be allowed to opt out if he's got a legitimate medical reason. Again, I think that you need flexibility here between the NHL and the NHLPA. Players have already received 80, well, they get fully paid except for their last paycheck, which I think they're still debating what to do with. Mm-hmm. But they've already gotten paid, so it's not a salary. So if a guy says they don't want to play, the only thing he would be forfeiting is playoff, whatever his playoff money is. But I think you would have to respect that. If a guy had a legitimate medical condition for him or his family, I think you'd have to respect that.
Brian Burke with us here on Sportsnet 650. I want to share with you what John Horgan, the BC Premier, said yesterday, and in terms of possible, and we've talked about a bit about this over the last couple of weeks, but I want to share with you what he said and the idea of a little spit and polish with respect to one venue here in this market. Take a listen.
Vancouver, again, has the main arena that the Canucks played at. We've got the Coliseum, which with a little bit of spit and polish could be brought back to an NHL standard, I believe. And we also have Langley and we have Abbotsford, as I say, that could be refurbished if need be. In terms of hotel capacity in Vancouver, I think that we're very well placed. And again, what I've heard from those who represent players, the view is that if you have to spend a couple of months in one place for the summer, Vancouver would be the place to do it.
Okay, two-part question for you here. A, does livability or accessibility in a city for players count for anything in this? And B, could you imagine the Coliseum being up to snuff at all for a viable, possible added venue if Vancouver were to be a hub here?
Well, I mean, that's the first I heard of this. When I heard the premier speaking about it last week, he was talking about Kamloops and
Cranbrook.
I think, Cranbrook, and I think the NHL wants NHL buildings. But yeah, the Coliseum housed the NHL for a long time, housed the Giants for a long time. I think he's probably right. It could be brought up to snuff. But you know, to me, I think Vancouver, with the hotels right beside the arena downtown, with the Coliseum as a backup, yeah, maybe that works. I wouldn't scoff at that idea one bit.
Brian Burke joining us, as he always does, 7 o'clock every Thursday morning. Burke, you had mentioned earlier you think the NHL right now should lock in and say, here's what 2021 is going to look like, when we're going to start. You came to Vancouver, and A, your job as a GM is to put a product on the ice, but it's to put people into the seats. And you did so much in this community to engage and talk to the fans and get them to care. What can teams do right now with season ticket holders? Are they doing enough to keep them interested and say, this is how it's going to play out? Are they simply going, we can't do anything until NHL head office says it? Because, you know, there's the fear factor that fans are going to have. Season ticket holders are going to, you know, I don't care what you tell me, I'm not going to come back. What would you be doing if you're a GM right now, or are the hands tied completely?
Well, I think the Canucks and most of the NHL teams, Nashville's been extraordinary. Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment is using the building to serve meals to frontline medical personnel and first responders. I think the NHL's response to the pandemic has been extraordinary. And I think season ticket holders, and I am a season ticket holder of MLSE, and I sent Brendan Shanahan a note. This is wonderful, the work you guys are doing. And I think the NHL's response has been fantastic, and I think season ticket holders and fans can be proud of that, that the teams have really stepped up in a big way at a horrible time. So I think that's really all you can do, and then keep them informed as you go along. But there's really, you don't have a story to tell just yet. And that's, again, I'm coming at this differently than anyone else that I've heard anyway. And I don't mind, you guys know me, I don't mind being on an island. If I'm on an island and I think I'm right, I'm very happy to stay on that island. But I think it is a fundamental mistake to not say to me as a season ticket holder, this is what 2021 looks like. This is when we're going to start. This is when we're going to finish. This is when we're going to award the Stanley Cup. And in the meantime, we're going 24/7 on options for finishing this past season. But if you want my check, I'd like to know what's going on for next year.
What's with all these sports executives falling in love with islands again in 2020? You and Dana White now all of a sudden talking about islands all the time.
What about islands?
Well, Dana White and the UFC talking about creating their own, you know, holding fights on a – on a private island somewhere. Anyway, the point, I'm curious about this. Bertuzzi joins us every Tuesday, and we got into this with Brian, with Todd a couple of days ago, where, you know, the idea of whoever hoists the Stanley Cup this year, Todd was adamant that this is different. It's going to be blasphemous, and there should be an asterisk with respect to whoever hoists the Stanley Cup because it won't be the same sort of chase. Eddie Jovanovski kind of agreed with Bert's sentiment. Do you?
Well, I think, okay, so first off, I love both those guys. My name is on the cup, and I don't want a team's name going on the cup with an asterisk. I don't want the cup given away. But to me, what I can live with as a former cup winner is three rounds. I'm convinced the league, this should be what we're focused on, is eight teams. And the notion that we'd have all these teams and 4 months apart, pick one venue, put eight teams in there. And it's not going to be equitable. Some teams will get left out, I know. But this is something we can do. We could award a cup. And in my mind, three rounds is legit. If you play three rounds, you've got to beat three good teams. That's legit. In my mind, there's no asterisk there. I know what Bert's saying because we all know the stories. You know, like the year we won the cup, we had two double overtime games against Vancouver, two. And everyone will look back in the book and say, oh, they took out the Canucks in five games. There was an overtime game and two double overtime games. So what Bert's saying, there's a lot of merit to that. But the fact is, this is not a typical year. You can put an asterisk on this year in the calendar for the next 500 years. This is not a lunar landscape because men have walked on the moon. This is a Martian landscape. None of us have ever encountered this. We've never seen it, and hopefully we never will again. We have to do the best we can with what we've been given. So to me, fix 2021. Tell fans, okay, there is hope. This is when we're playing next year. We might not have fans at the start of the year, but this is what we're doing next year. And so now I'm a season ticket holder. I see a roadmap. And then in the meantime, we're going to figure out the playoffs. So what can you do? What can the NHL do? The NHL can do, in my opinion, an 8-team playoff. They could pick Vegas and say, we're going to take the eight teams. We're going to pick them by winning percentage, whatever. It's not going to be fair. Teams are going to be left out. But we're going to bring in eight teams. We can quarantine them. We can test them. We can play. And we can award a Stanley Cup. And there is no asterisk on that cup, in my mind, if you play three rounds. Anything less than that would be a joke. But we've got to stop worrying about how history will look at this and say, let's focus on how history will look at how we responded to it.
Yeah, nothing is going to be the same. And I think Bert's argument is, man, we play 82 of the hardest games, and then we start and crank up the intensity. Let me ask you this. I'm sure everybody who passed that cup around when you were in Anaheim was banged up and bruised. Off the top of your head, who played with the most significant injuries? Can you remember on your team there that when it was all done, you just go, man, what a warrior they were?
Yeah, Sammy Paulson. Sammy Paulson could not practice on the days in between games in the third and fourth rounds. He could not practice. He was so banged up. He was so sore. And then the game would start, and he was a Viking again. He was an unbelievable warrior. But he could not practice. He was so sore. He was lying on the training table. And I said to the trainer, I said, he's not going to be able to play tomorrow. And he said, that's Sammy Paulson. Of course he's going to play tomorrow.
That was a guy funny to think. He had a major hand in shutting down, Heatley, Spezza, Alfredson. I mean, he was great for you guys in 07.
Well, you know what? That line. So Travis Mullen played left wing. Robbie Niedermeyer played right wing. And Sammy was in the middle. And that third line played head-to-head with the top line on the other team. So they play against the Twins. They play against Zetterberg. They play against Spezza. And they not only shut those guys down, they actually outscored them on a net basis 5-on-5. I think Travis Mullen had two goals in the last game. Robbie Niedermeyer scored in that series. So they actually, you put the third line out, and you're thinking, okay, we just hope they don't get a minus. These guys actually outscored the top line on the other team 5-on-5. It was a remarkable achievement.
Yeah, no, that's what I remember of them, how good they were. And then, and Sammy, am I right? Sammy Paulson came here for a bit too, didn't he, in Vancouver?
I think he had a tryout. He was at the end of the line, though. I think.
You would have been gone. Obviously, I thought he did actually come here for a cup of coffee, and the Sedins had said to that. Hey, I want to ask you something, and you're a lawyer, so I need your legalese. At the top of the hour, at 8 o'clock, for a lot of parents, we are going to have the president of BC Hockey. We're also minor hockey. We're going to have a technical director for soccer. There's been a lot of articles out here about when will youth sports start again. I think you've said us before, you're not going to encourage your kids to go to any gatherings or concerts until there's a vaccine. And there's an article in the paper today about the legalese and the insurance and the waivers and stuff that you would never think you have to deal with as a parent when you're talking about getting a 9 or 10 year old to go on a soccer pitch or a baseball diamond. Can you see this being solved easily as a lawyer, or is it going to be a risk factor that parents are going to have to take?
Well, when your kids play team sports, you're taking a chance anyway. You know, kids die playing amateur sports all across North America every year. So you have heart conditions that you don't know about and seizures and different things. So when you put your kid into sports, there is some risk that you assume automatically. And if they go into a full contact sport, like once you get up to the bantam level where it's full contact, you're taking a risk of real serious injury every time they play, every time your kid plays. So I don't know the law in BC, and I certainly don't want to get bogged down in the debate. I know this. We're worried about the NHL getting back. We've got to worry about hockey getting back at every level. Like, we need college hockey and junior hockey to come back. We need the American League back. We need all these links in the chain going right down to house Adam kids and novice kids. So we got to figure this out. How do we do it safely? Are they playing games to start, or maybe it's just drills? Maybe all they're allowed to do is drills with socially appropriate distancing. I mean, I don't know what it looks like, and I haven't focused on that side, so I wouldn't venture an opinion, but it's certainly something we got to talk about and figure out. Like, it doesn't do us any good to get the NHL back on the ice if the other leagues aren't back on the ice, right down to kids.
Thanks for catching up with us. As always, we continue to wait in so many moving parts, and not just with the National Hockey League, the NBA, Major League Baseball, but it does seem like at least there's a clarity in terms of what an actual plan looks like for the National Hockey League. We'll wait and see just what the reality is with this 24-team scenario. Thanks for this. Be safe out there, and we'll talk again next week, all right?
Thanks, guys.